You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. It was a performance by Sam Bush at a Newgrass Revival concert when Scott Slay was just 6 years old that keyed his interest in bluegrass music. His dad bought him a mandolin for Christmas, and the rest is history. We'll talk to Scott about that journey in this edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Hi, Scott. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we are talking to you in Colorado. Is that correct?
That's it. I'm over here in Denver, Colorado right now.
Okay. And you mentioned to me a few moments ago that when we get off the phone, you're heading back into teaching. Is that a school job, or what do you do?
Yeah, I'll be going back and teaching ukulele to about a class of 25 third graders.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Is that a special event for today or a normal gig for you?
That's a day gig for me, at least kind of in the, you know, the fall and all the way through the spring.
Yeah.
And actually, this is the last week of school, so.
Oh, good. Okay. So that, I guess that means festival touring season is just about ready to kick in, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So give me a little bit of background about yourself and your music. What got you interested in bluegrass?
My dad was a band, well, he still is, but a banjo player and kind of like a bluegrass rhythm guitar player. And when I was 6 years old, he took me to a little tiny bluegrass festival at the Big Lagoon State Park near Pensacola, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the headliner was Newgrass Revival.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, my dad said that after the show, I looked up at him and said, you know, I want a little guitar, because of course Sam Bush was over there headbanging, you know, with
right,
curly
yeah.
hair and all that. And,
yeah.
You know, and that Christmas I got a mandolin. My dad started showing me a couple chords and things. And by the time I was 8 years old, he put me in his band, you know, basically just kind of chopping, you know, full bluegrass band. And I did that for a little while and eventually started learning, you know, fiddle tunes and whatnot, and it became like an actual member of his band, Highway 99, and we did small festivals touring on the Southeast Coast.
Yeah. That's cool. I think I read where you actually started the, your own band at around like the age 16. Is that right?
Yeah. So when I was 16, I actually, kind of a couple of things. I had some friends that wanted to play in a rock band, but they didn't play any instruments. And their parents were ready to, you know, buy whatever and whatnot. And, you know, I was the only musician in the friend group. And
right.
So they convinced their parents to buy drum sets and electric guitars and electric basses and sound system and all this and whatnot. And just, you know, with the knowing that I was going to have to learn all those things and teach them. And so that's what we did. We did like, it was like 90s rock,
yeah.
A little bit of metal stuff, but Weezer and that kind of thing. But then at the same time, a friend of mine, Fred Donovan, had just left a band called the Dog River Boys in Mobile, Alabama. And he had moved to South Florida, and they were looking for a new guitar player. So I took that spot, and it was a bluegrass band.
Uh-huh.
And my dad also joined the band playing dobro, and I did that all the way through college.
Wow, cool. Yeah. Cool. And at what point did you become interested in songwriting? When did that become a part of this for you?
My mother was an English teacher, so she, you know, growing up, there was always like, for fun, like in the summertime and whatnot, you know, we're writing little short stories and poems and whatnot. You know, my dad was a musician, so I was always around music. And
yeah.
When I was 16 and I joined the band, Dog River Boys, I asked the band leader, Phil Proctor, you know, where did the name come from? And he said that there is a they used to practice, like before I joined the band, they either had to, everyone lived in Mobile and had to drive over a bridge that went over Dog River to get to Hurley, Mississippi, where the banjo player lived, Johnny Holston, and the, or vice versa. So they were always going across Dog River, and they just kind of decided to name their band that. And I said, that's a great story, but do you mind if I write a song called Dog River? And he said, sure. And so I just started doing some research, you know, online and just looking up different things about the geographical area and whatnot, and I wrote a fictional song called Dog River, and I actually recorded that song on an album called The Rail that I just released with Bonfire Records. So that was my first songwriting experience, and I really chose to write the song because I felt like the band I was in needed a better story than just crossing a river. That's why we're named that.
And how old were you when you did that?
I was 16 when I did that.
So how does a 16-year-old figure out the process of research and getting phrasing together? Is that all coming from mom and being an English teacher? Where does that, because that doesn't sound like something a typical 16-year-old is going to, you know, be able to, it sounds a little more intellectual than that for most 16-year-olds.
Well, I feel like a lot of it, you know, would be like personal life experiences, like even like personal, like educational experiences, like writing poems with my mother in the summers. And then also, you know, being around bluegrass musicians and playing bluegrass songs that have, you know, very common chord progressions, sometimes even similar, you know, like lyric material from, you know, from age eight, all, you know, 8 years of that, basically. And I just kind of, I just felt like, hey, you know, I really dig what Blue Highway is doing. I really dig what Lonesome River Band is doing. I still do, but this is what I was thinking back then. And I just decided that, you know, I wanted to write this song, but I didn't really know much about Dog River other than there was a bridge that crossed Dog River to get to Mississippi or the other way to get to Mobile, Alabama. And so I felt like, you know, just from, you know, writing essays and whatnot in school, you always have to have some kind of source, whether it's your personal experience or it's, you know, something make-believe, or there needs to be something that gives it some substance.
Sure.
And I looked up, you know, there was like a, I forgot, there was like a newspaper article about a tire swing that was found, like, just like really super old tire swing just kind of in the woods near that area. And no one knew, like, you know, who put it there or whatnot. And I was just looking at that, and they were talking about some other things that were in the area. And I just sort of started thinking, you know, what could be a fictional idea for how this came about, since no one knows who put this tire swing there. And thought, you know, most of the time that's something that kids like to do in the summer. I'm sure there was an adult involved putting it up. But, you know, that's actually one of the lyrics in Dog River. It says, you know, we're going to explore. Then we'll explore. There's a tire swaying in the breeze. And doing some, you know, poem writing with my mother, she always talked about, you know, trying to paint a picture with words.
Yeah.
So that, I was trying to paint a this whole description of like a probably like elementary age boy and girl who are just kind of doing this their own like make believe world every summer when they're not in school, and they're fishing and they're playing house and they're, you know, they're skipping rocks across the stream and they're finding tire swings in the middle of the woods and, you know, staking that's theirs. And you know, that's kind of, I guess, what drove it all. And then having all the experience playing lots of different songs and singing different melodies and playing different chord progressions and whatnot, it just sort of, you know, led me to write my own chord progression to fit that.
That's cool. Will you get to do a video for that? Is that an option, possibility?
I'm sure we'll get there. You know, I did one for Truth Came Out, which is a song I co-wrote with my wife, Brittany. And then I also recorded that one with Sierra Hull singing, playing mandolin, and some of my heroes on there. Mm-hmm. Sammy Shuler's playing banjo, and Mark Schatz playing bass. Jim Bankley, but just these are all like, you know, heroes of mine. And there's a video out there of that one. In the process of putting together some ideas to do a video for the title track, Derail.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure something will come along down the road for Dog River. Something will.
Now, you mentioned several of the folks that are involved with this CD, and there's quite a few of the great bluegrassers of today in that list. How did you find yourself in positions to work with those guys? Have you toured with them? How do those relationships come about for you?
Everything just seemed like it was like almost like a stepping stone or a link to the next thing.
Uh-huh.
It all started with a really high paying wedding gig in Virginia that ended up playing, having Sammy Shuler play banjo and Telecaster on.
Uh-huh.
And then that kind of, that led to a formation of an Americana band I was in called The Virginia Sky.
I played at
IBMA, I think it was like 2015.
Yeah.
I can't remember, something like that.
Yeah.
So that was that, and we recorded an album and ended up, you know, through the connection of Sammy, getting, you know, Sierra to make an appearance on there. We had Randy Coors on there and some other folks too. And then, you know, when I decided I wanted to do a, you know, solo project, I reached out to Sam again. I'd been playing with Sam off and on. Also been playing some with Mike Mumford, because I was living in Washington, D.C., and kind of close to there, north of Baltimore. I was also playing with Mark Schatz. He actually lives in D.C., so
right.
I was doing a lot of like local stuff, you know?
Yeah.
When they're on the road traveling on the weekends, I'd be playing with someone else, but then, you know, when those things pop up on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday radar, you know, we were doing some trio stuff around town. And so I started off recording the project with Mark Schatz and Sammy Shuler, and we basically recorded just about every banjo, rhythm guitar, bass, and lead vocal track with those two guys, and then did one of them with Mike Mumford on banjo instead. And, you know, I met a lot of these folks over the years, and I just started reaching out to, you know, certain people that I really, really felt like had the sound that I could hear in my head on,
mm-hmm.
on these songs, on specific songs, and, you know, one thing led to another. I ended up, you know, having Josh Schilling sing on just about everything, and then, you know, that led to some other Mountain Heart folks like Aaron Ramsey and Jim Van Cleve, and, you know, just one connection leads to another.
So the album that we've kind of alluded to here a few times is just out, is that right, or on the way out?
Yeah, it actually came out officially, I believe it was March 7th.
Okay.
It came out.
And
I know that Bonfire's getting ready to push the single, The Rail, on radio here in the next couple of weeks.
And that's the title of the album as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also the first track, yeah.
Yeah. And so when you get a chance to take this out and tour with it, will the band have the same name, or do you have a band name, or and where will these guys, will you be able to use some of the same guys playing out?
Right. Yeah, so I've had, you know, different lineups ever since Pensacola, Florida, when I lived there about 8 years ago, called Scott Slay and the Rail, and most of the time it's a lot of the same material, but, you know, different. Sometimes it's different musicians playing it, depending on the location. You know, I have a band that I play with on a regular basis here in Colorado and on the West Coast. Everybody is kind of based in Denver. I'm the oldest person in the band. They're all young folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually just headlined a festival over in San Bernardino, California at the Calico Ghost Town. Had the pleasure of playing that festival with some great bands. We got to catch a set by New Blue and also one of my favorite bands, Special Consensus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I'm playing out in this area, it'll probably be those folks. Sometimes we might take the, you might see a hybrid of the guys that I've been, and girl that I play with here in Colorado, but we might be over on the East Coast and you might see someone like, I don't know, Brandon Bostic popping in or Sammy Sheeler. It just really depends on who's available and where it's at.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you plan on touring more regionally with this, or are you hoping to? You mentioned living actually on the East Coast at some point. Are you going to come this way with that project?
Yeah, I know that my PR and booking agent Melanie Wilson, she's with Wilson Promotion Pickens.
Yeah,
she's been talking to a lot of folks, especially in the South Carolina, North Carolina, that Northeast Coast area, even some Georgia stuff, going a little more southern, about putting some stuff together, especially for 2020. But meanwhile, she's also looking at some things out here as well. So, things are coming together each day. I don't really foresee what the future is.
Yeah.
But, things are popping in.
Sure.
I do know that I do plan on coming to IBMA, 2019, and I know I'm going to be playing at least the Wilson Pickens showcases, that Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know some of my Denver crew are going to be coming with me, but I'm not sure if all of them are, so we'll probably have a couple of ringers that were on the album hopefully pop in and play a couple of things with us, too.
That's awesome. You mentioned in working with Sammy and the Big Virginia Sky Project, and I got to see a couple of the performances at IBMA, and what a neat migration, I guess is the right word, kind of not leaving the roots entirely, but moving into some percussion and a little bit more fuller sound. Is that something that was kind of a one-off, or will you guys revisit that?
I'm really not sure. As far as that band is concerned, we just two of the guys live over, like, in Richmond. One of them is in Norfolk, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Sammy is still over there in Meadows of Dan. The lead singer, James, he's over in Findlay, Ohio, and I'm over here in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It really kind of depends on if there's a really big paying thing that can get us all together at the
right,
same time.
Right, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't see us touring, but doesn't mean there won't be, a couple of dates here and there. You just never know. Right now I'm really sort of taking a, I don't know if you have listened to the album or not.
But, I did listen to a few tracks, uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So I'm taking more of a, it's more like a contemporary and progressive bluegrass singer-songwriter approach, but keeping the instruments, the instrumentation that Bill Monroe had.
Right.
That's sort of what I'm doing right now. I plan on doing that for a while, but
yeah.
I'm a big fan of, the Sam Bush Band, always have been, and so you really never know.
Yeah.
I mean, if the right thing lines up, you might end up seeing Scott Slaying the Rail with Del Lazar on drums, because I have done that song.
Yeah.
Del
was
our drummer on Big Virginia Sky.
Yeah.
So it just really depends. And actually, there aren't any drums on it, but one of the tracks on this album is called Moonshine Feel. And that does have Sammy playing banjo on it and Steve Lazar, who was the bass player of Big Virginia Sky. So there's a little bit of that BVS on this thing, too.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So this, do you have a vision of where you want to be with this? Is teaching and playing music in the summertime kind of that comfortable thing that you're at right now? Or do you look to be more full-time with the project?
Well, full disclosure, if you have anybody out there who is thinking about moving to the Denver, Colorado area, fellow bluegrasser Scott Slay is a realtor for Equity.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm in the process of slowly, maybe faster, but transitioning from full-time teaching into part-time teaching and eventually full-time bluegrasser slash realtor.
Yeah,
that's okay. Sort of my plan right now. It's what I'm working on. But you know, it's because I do teach Monday through Friday during the school year.
Right.
You know, it's a slow process to kind of build up that clientele, but it's but it's building up. So you never know. It might happen faster than slower.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, the band is The Rail. The album is The Rail, and it is out as of about 2 months ago. Where can folks find it, find you, find out where they can catch you playing somewhere?
Okay. Yeah, so my website is denverbluegrass.com.
Okay, awesome.
Denverbluegrass.com. And it's got links on that front page to, you know, all the different audio streaming platforms and whatnot. It also will have, it's got links to where you can see our show schedule. And then if anyone is interested in booking us, you just need to contact Melanie Wilson at Wilson Pickens Promotions.
Right. Good deal. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. It's been interesting hearing about your music and all the different folks you've got to work with, and we certainly wish you the best.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.